No, it's not 10. On the first hour, I made 20. On the second hour, however, let's say I was willing to make it for 15. Okay? So which means, but I got it for 30. So which means combine the two?
15.
Therefore, it means 10 on the first one, 5 on the second one, 15. It means although they are paying the same, but the second one costs me more in terms of my energy. Therefore, I don't consider it a surplus. In short, the way we define the way that I want you to be as part of your common language is that producer's surplus is the area above the supply curve and below the price line. Below the price line, above the supply curve. Because the supply curve represents my cost. And the price line represents my reward. So anything between my reward and my cost is my surplus. Okay? So, that's what we are. These producers were producing here before. Now they are producing here. They were producing 10, now they are producing 20. But the extra 10 are also produced at a higher cost. You see? The first one, yes, it might have given 10 surplus. Sorry, the full 1 pound. Okay? From 6 to 2. But the others cost a little bit more. Okay? The last one, in fact, is exactly breaking even. The last number, product number 20, is exactly produced at 6 pounds. That's where we stop. Yes, please.
The area of FPH.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will that again to the workers?
Why do you say that? It's not. In what sense? For the workers.
Well, for the other factors of production.
Yes, yes, but it is, we don't, it's not a surplus. Yes, someone is getting a job for it.
So it's gained to be home.
It is not, it is a resource which could have equally used it somewhere else. So it's not a gain for the economy, because the economy is spending materials, man hour, and everything. Therefore, what we say is, for the economy, this is the resource which we spend. You see this area under the supply curve? Any area below this supply curve is an actual cost for society.
Yeah, but he has a good point to say, again, the sensitivity to the employment ratio, say, rather than the consumer surplus or producer surplus, right now the very important issue in the world is, say, actually employment. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, producer surplus could be, to some extent anyway,
a good thing for the
good
employment.
For the employment. So I could say tariff is better. Good, yes. Idea. Yeah.
But there are some, remember, the world outlook that we are discussing here is liberalist argument. Okay? And the liberalism, therefore, we don't need to compete with the Chinese by producing Chinese toys. Okay? Yes, now by increasing the price of toys, yeah, we have expanded the toy industry, and therefore more people are now working there. Now, the argument, the liberalist argument here would therefore be, no, these people should. Yes, they are producing toys, but they are getting paid more than the Chinese people. Therefore, this resource at global level, which we could have got it at much cheaper resource, then hence these people should do something else. This resource should not be produced by this high cost labor.
Yeah, I understand from the global point of view.
Yeah.
Or liberals. Point of view, yeah. But actually, each nation needs employment. So we cannot ignore that concept.
As a transition, yeah. I can accept it. As a transition, I can accept it. As a pain, therefore, let's not withdraw it quickly. But what the system is saying is now, In the current global circumstances, we should not be producing these goods in this quantity. That's the bottom line. That we can get this resource somewhere else much cheaper. Hence, yes, temporarily let's support these people, but to do something else over time. Let them train. In other words, if you are a miner and coal, the nation has said coal either it is undesirable, environmentally, or we can get it cheaper outside, then it means the son of the miner should not aspire to be coal miner.
But
let
like,
them train to do something else.
Like, for example, Eurostar new rail car,
okay.
That is produced not here, but produced by Germany.
Yeah.
And also, there is no automobile factory here in UK.
Yeah.
And these are, of course, based on such a theory. But which one is right to use such a theory?
Is Britain better off or worse off?
Yeah, right. I frankly speaking, Britain need some kind of such a plant, factory, rather than use the cost from the user, good from abroad.
Why should I care? As far as I have got a job, yeah, as far as I am earning good salary, which can provide me to buy the car.
Yeah, in that case, no problem.
If as a result of that, my living standard is going to go down because the overall income of this nation is going to go down, then yes, we should keep.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If by redeploying me to do something else, and as a result of that, if all what I need is to drive a German car, then what's wrong with that?
Yeah, but I think that the basic element is, say, for example, employment ratio should be less than unemployment ratio should be less than 5% rather than 10% or even 20% in Spain.
Unemployment
yeah.
is bad. We are
yeah.
not saying unemployment here. It is simply we are saying reallocation of resources. This means these people are not unemployed. We are simply saying these people are employed in the wrong industry. Therefore, they will have to do something else because as a nation, we lost that comparative advantage. There was a time where Britain was, it created the Industrial Revolution,
but
and as a result of that, it was the empire was built with the view of creating markets for all this, because this industry, for the first time, human beings have started to say, well, we can produce this in mass.
But what kind of industry has Britain produced other than finance, banking?
But why do you need that? There are so many countries in the world which don't have a car industry. Why should we have that? Why should it be that the only way?
We have one.
Yeah, or at that mass scale. In other words, you don't need to have everything here. The bottom line is, can your citizens have enough income as a result, with that income, therefore, get secure supply lines where those items can be available to your citizens. If you can secure this, there is no point in producing anything.
Say, in the case of the United States, they keep GM and Chrysler with government help, and that's actually against that theory.
Yes.
And which one is better, is my question. United States, which keep the automobile industry, and Britain, which doesn't keep the automobile industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to answer that because I simply, as I remember what I told you earlier, that's why I gave you the different world outlooks to this.
Okay.
There are different world views, and I presented at least the three strands which we can put, and what we are discussing here is therefore the pure liberalist market economy, which assumes the world has got the same resources. Free trade can combine everyone. Free movement of resources would enable society to achieve its best. Under that such a scenario, therefore, don't invest in industries which others have already can do that better than you. Do something else. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that this is why the argument about tariffs comes up when you've got unemployment. This theory assumes full employment and the economy is working at maximum capacity. unemployment is not at maximum capacity, it makes sense on a short-term basis
yeah.
imposing tariffs.
Yeah.
But that may injure your long-term.
Yeah.
Because you've then got to take the feedback again from somewhere else.
Okay. I think fully accepted that there needs to be a transition. You see, even within the liberalist argument, at least it's modified version. So that's why, as I told you, Keynes belongs to the liberalist school. And these are people who gave us or articulated the welfare state. Okay. So which means now, this additional employment which you see here, which has been created, is created artificially. The market clearly said this should not be produced here, because there are others who can do this better. These people are there only because they are protected. Now, short term as a transition, as a way of easing the pain, to give, because we are dealing about human beings, and adjustment. Imagine if I lose my job. If I lose my job, then the only job which I have been doing for a long time is teaching. Now, what do I do next? So at least that transition needs to be managed. In a humane society which cares about me, then they say, okay, we'll give you this much time or this much money to retrain yourself along this. Or we'll subsidize you for the next 5 years, but each year you need to reduce your production by this much and move on. But long term, it should not. In other words, take the textile industry, for example. Textile industry, Britain was dressing everyone in the world, or that was their mission. Okay? Now, Britain is importing everything. Okay? All the textile mills, which made this nation rich and ambitious and global power, now are gone. Does that mean then people are living less or lower living standard than before? No. People have moved on. That has been given to Bangladesh or Pakistan or others who can do it better. The technology, they know it. The resource is cheap. So why compete with them at a lower wage? Because we don't want to live at that lower wage. So that's the view.
In a way, I was just going to invest in the dollars. Because the government actually made a profit. They weren't subsidizing, they were able to reduce their costs by government help, namely medical costs.
Over a period of time, though.
Well,
on the transition, the man was helping, wasn't
it? Just a very short
period. Sure, yeah, that's what I mean.
And they were the privatized now again.
Thank you, guys. So, do I need to say more on this? Producer surplus, consumer surplus. That, is it clear to all of you? Yeah? So because that's the way we measure it. So in this case then, the judgment is now, from a liberalist point of view, is tariff good or bad? We should say, hello. We don't want you to go on, tell me.
No, I was looking at the camera.
No, go on, look at it. This is what we lost, even graphically speaking.
Right.
This is what we got back. This and this have not been, we haven't got them back, have we? This was the whole area. Can you see?
Right.
This is what we lost by paying more for the same product and therefore consuming less. We lost all this. Out of that, our companies, through their profits, the additional profit, they gained this area. Our government managed to get this. In net, tariff is bad. At national level, tariff is bad. What we lost is more than what we gained.
So sorry, just to go back to that, if tariffs are bad in a liberal view of the economy,
yes,
why are they imposed? It's
because
a really simple question.
Of interest groups. Because the government gets lobbied. We live in a world where there are interest groups. You could see me, as much as I'm teaching here, if there is something which affects my job through the teachers' union, you might see me striking. That's how we negotiate, and sometimes we succeed and we make our points. We manage to protect it. Sometimes we don't.
And all the usual resources.
Yes, yes.
So, the our point here, therefore, what do we call these two? What do we call these two? So, as I go wrong, therefore, if this is the common language, let me differentiate between what we call the, before we go there, the tariff rate and the effective rate of protection. For example, here we said the tariff rate is how much? 20%, okay? Because it was 5, now it is 6. The tariff rate is different from the rate of protection. What is the rate of, the effective rate of protection? The effective rate of protection is the measure on how much protection a tariff or other trade policy provides to domestic producers. In other words, by how much does their profitability increase as a result of that tariff? And it may not be by the rate of the tariff. Okay? In other words, there is a possibility that 20% tariff may lead to more than 20% increase in the profitability of the firm. Let's see the case. It represents the change in the value that an industry adds to the production process when trade policy changes. The change in the value that an industry provides depends on the change in the price when trade policies are affected. By how much? Because each price, each tariff which include, by how much does the prices go up? Because sometimes consumers may not, sorry, companies may not have the liberty of passing it on, depending on the elasticity of the demand curve. How much? Because if each time, if your consumers are price sensitive, then your chances of passing that on is less. Let's say if there is an alternative product, I don't want to have this, then I will buy other things. Then that's the scenario. So with this, the effective rate of protection often differs from the rate because the tariff affects sector, the tariff affects other sectors other than the protected sector, a fact which affects prices and value added in the protected sector. Do you understand me when I say price elasticity? Okay. So in other words, if we impose tariff on French wine, what we can have? Other wines, probably, which you may think are of equal value. In that case, then, there are possibilities whenever you have got alternatives. But sometimes there are items which people are not price sensitive to. Things which we always see the chancellor, for example, like every budget increases those prices. What are they?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes, alcohol, sometimes petroleum as well. There are things which they can charge you at will, because they know you will buy it. Okay? For these are price inelastic items. Under such a scenario, then companies will have a full chance or a bigger chance of passing it there. You may whinge for a while and then you accept it. There used to be a time where petrol was less than a pound.
Yes.
You see? Now all of us are reading, oh, this looks cheaper. Let me go there, even when you don't want to have no flat to fill it. Okay? Has become an issue. So that's what I'm discussing. Now, there is a difference between tariff rate and effective rate of protection. Let's take an example. Let's say an example where there is an automobile company which sells at world market, which is £800, and the parts that made are worth £600. So let's say this is the British market. Either you can bring the BMW from Germany here, or you can bring the parts and assemble them here. Okay? If you bring the car, you will be charged with tariff. If you bring the parts, it's free. Okay? Let's take that example. So the main point here is now world price is 8,000. So each under such a scenario, from each item, the company is making a profit of 2,000. Okay? You invest 600 and you sell it for 800, and then the value added is 2,000. Let's say then
the government imposes tariff of 25% if you bring the automobile from abroad. The impact of this is now to push prices up. Okay, so each item which was imported before and sold for 8,000, now it will have to be added, it will have to add 25%. So prices goes up to 1,000, 10,000. Imagine now, the cost base of the local company, of the company, the local assembly company has not changed. It is still 600. Therefore, the choice now has become, would you buy a car imported for 10,000, or bring the car, bring the parts, assemble them here, because they will be sold for the same. So the gap now immediately has gone from a gap of price is 8,000, the cost is 6,000, the tariff is 25%. Okay, hence the price is now 10. The rate of rotation therefore needs to be measured. Previously it was 2, here, without protection. Now, as a result of this rate of protection for each item the company is making, 4. Calculation is therefore how much? The value added now increases by how much? The company's profit goes up by how much? It was 2,000 per unit. Yeah? It was 2,000 per unit before, now it is 4,000. Therefore, it has doubled. Okay? The company's profit has doubled by 100%. Are with me? It was 2, our profit was 2,000 per car. Now, as a result of the tariff, our profit is 4,000 per car.
But the tariff is going to the government, no?
Sorry?
The tariff is going to the government, not for the company.
To development?
No, for the government. The government,
no?
The government is not charging domestic companies. Okay? It's a way of evading it. If you bring the car in Dover, then they will charge you. But if you bring the spare parts, then you will not be charged. Therefore, your cost base remains the same. So only foreigners are charging, not local companies. Okay? So in this case, then, the point here is now, the effective rate of protection is how much? 100%. Okay? That's by how much the value added has changed from 2,000 to 4,000. Are you with me, guys? For the value added is, it was previously it was, now it is 4,000, previously it was 2,000. That means, divide by the base, this means 2 over 2, which is equal to 100%. Okay? What we are saying here now, the tariff rate is 25%, but the protection rate is 100%. The rate of protection is by how much your profitability, your value added, goes up as a result of the tariff. It's not about the 6,000, okay? That's your cost base. Now, for the same cost, your profit is going up. As a result of this, then, what's happening to your profit? In this particular example, your profit has gone up by 100% as a result of increase in tariff by 25%. So the effective rate of protection is 100%. Yeah, that's another concept. Please differentiate between the rate of the tariff rate and the effective rate of protection. The government helped you to double your profit. That's what it means. The only thing which requires for this to happen is for the government to discriminate against imported goods and locally assembled goods. Here, guys? Okay. So the next question, therefore, which we're discussing so far is the costs and benefits of tariffs, and we check this by what happens to the government, what happens to producers and consumers, and based on this, then, what is the overall cost? So I've already demonstrated what consumer surplus is, the difference between what you actually pay and what you would be willing to pay. And producer surplus is, okay, so consumer surplus is, this is the gap, therefore, because A, B before, now as a result of tariff, you lose B, area B, and therefore it gets reduced to only A. So that is the producer's, so the consumer's surplus. Therefore, tariffs reduce consumer surplus. Producer surplus is the difference between what you would be willing to sell at, okay, the price at which you would be willing to sell your services or goods, and the price at which you actually sold it. Okay? Just to take my example, if I was willing to work for £10 per hour, then if Birkbeck gave me, okay, work 2 hours and we'll pay you £30 an hour. That means then on the first hour I made a profit or a surplus of 10. On the second one, probably I would have worked it for 15, and therefore I made 15. Okay? So with this, that the area above so we show consumer surplus. Yeah. Supply. So the C was the initial producer surplus. Now as a result of prices going up to P2, production goes up to Q2, and the producer surplus, the additional one is D.
If the producer surplus is subject to the law of diminishing returns, why is S not curved? Upwards.
Because of diminishing returns, it costs me more to produce that particular product. Okay? Therefore it is the diminishing productivity means as I get tired, then it means I'm taking too much energy, which is my efficiency for each hour, or the energy which I need to keep on for 1 hour is more, therefore it's costing me more. I'm producing less means, on the other hand, I'm also costing more per unit. Okay. Hence, the supply curve is therefore upwards. I can only stay longer if I get paid more to compensate. Therefore, the law of diminishing returns means the law of increasing cost.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
If I do it a curve, then I'm going to teach you.
No, here. Don't.
I'm going to live in the world of calculus now.
Yes.
And I will lose most of it. Yes, in reality, it's a curve, but of course, it is with a straight line. Okay, so is it good or bad? The impact is, we have already discussed, the government gets revenue, companies make more profit, and consumers get punished. Is it good? If it's a small economy, it is bad. It's a small economy. Now, there is one point, if this is clear, guys, yeah? If this is clear, it's a small economy, we lose this and this, and therefore, clearly, for smaller economy, which has no option other than accept.